Brown.
All right. Well, it's 4:15. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We'll introduce the officers, and then we'll do a little roundtable introduction. Jared Marcus, I'm a parent and a healthcare, say like administrator. So I'm a director of laboratory services for Hamilton Healthcare System. I've got 3 kids in the district. I've got 2 at the middle school this year, 6th and 8th grader. And then I've got a 4th grader at Hannah Springs. Yes. Yes.
I'm Jessica Guy. I'm a parent, and I'm also the DA here in Leopassis. I have a 5-year-old at Klein Whitus in kindergarten and an 8-year-old at Klein Whitus in 3rd grade.
And you're still the secretary?
Am I still the secretary?
For today, yes.
Okay. She's like, do I want your coffee? I'm not prepared for that. I was like, I'm the secretary. I'm the nurse at high school. And all 3 of my kids have already graduated.
Thank you.
Yep, I'll start. I am Chris Ellis. I'm the director of school health for Leopassis. I have 2 girls here, one at Klein Whitus that is in 4th grade, and one at the middle school that is in 6th grade.
I'm Mandy Warren, the counselor at Klein Whitus. I have a 3rd grader at Klein Whitus and a junior at the high school.
I'm Leslie. I'm the school nurse at Taylor Creek Elementary, and I have a senior at Leopassis High School.
I'm Crystal Cahill. I'm a nurse. I'm actually a discharge planner at Darnell Army Medical Center. And I have 3 boys at Hannah Springs. Mason's a 5th grader, Aaron's a 3rd grader, and Luke's a 4th grader.
Randy Morris, school board.
Dana Holcomb, central office assistant.
Dana Tatum, I'm the Klein Whitus nurse, and I don't have any kids in the school district anymore.
And we'll go back to
Dr. A. Sorry, I'm late. Kids everywhere. I got middle school and high school right now.
I'm Billy Shiflett. I'm the nurse at Hannah Springs. I have a junior in high school, a 6th grader, and a pre-K-er at Klein.
I'm Chris Brown. I am the counselor at Hannah Springs. I have 2 boys that are now at the middle.
That's crazy to say.
I'm Stephanie Russum. I'm the parent. I'm a dietitian by trade, and I've got a daughter at the middle school.
Calvin Pittman, Nutrition Services Director.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for your introductions and for being here today. We will move on to the next item, and that's going to be faculty.
Skip Ryan.
Oh, sorry, Brian. What? You're so quiet.
I'm Brian. I'm a nurse up at Darnell as well. I'm a parent. I got a 9-year-old, soon to be 10-year-old at Hannah Springs. And then this one, we just finalized the adoption a month ago, so he's ours now too.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Wasn't trying to leave you out, Brian.
No, you're good. I do.
We will move to the next item, faculty, community members, and parent. We did that. Approval of minutes from last meeting on May 7th. So last school year, 25. If I can have a motion.
I'll make your motion.
Thank you. You get a second?
Yes. Second.
Thank you. All right, so we'll move to the next item. We will have the school health updates.
That would be me. So the SHAC report was sent to the school board in July. You presented for us for that. Do you have anything you want to touch on that you went over with them?
Everything went well. Just presented everything that we went over, just a quick summary to the board, provided details in a letterhead format to the board. Board voted and adopted a couple new measures that are in place and keeps us compliant and in the good graces of the state.
Okay. We had a mental health first aid class that we're working for one of our bills that was passed a couple years ago to get all of our staff trained. We trained 34 additional teachers during that time. And that was on July 28th. We had DSHS at the vaccination clinic for new student registration and at the middle school meet the teacher. For July 22nd, which was our new student registration, we gave 50 vaccines through them to 21 students. And then at the middle school for Meet the Teacher, 36 vaccinations were given to 18 students, bringing our compliance down to, like, I think we had 30 left to get them enrolled and started for the school year, which we completed. We only have 6 left out of compliance at the moment.
I will say a lot of parents were, like, very excited that y'all were doing that. So yeah. When they came, finally can register.
There's a lot of good feedback from that, and they asked for it to be there because it took a burden off. There's someone at the door. Get the door.
Yeah, it's actually not a lot there.
No?
They left.
It's the wind.
For CRT, CERP, and Project Adam, so we now have cardiac emergency response teams and a plan in place for each campus. Who is in what position, how they will handle it. We have an AED that is about a 2 to 3 minute brisk walk from anywhere on campus, which brings us eligible to apply for Project Adam, which I have submitted for. I have not heard back, so I may reach out to them directly soon. And we'll update once we're accredited with Heart Safe Schools. We are still doing the CATCH program. We are renewing in September for our counselors and everyone to use. And then we are still continuing this year with Good Side Health, which is the wellness visits in the nurse's clinic if needed.
Lots of things. Thank
you. Lots of things.
Yes. We'll move on to the next new business. We have lots of changes with SHAC.
Yes.
Would you like to go over those?
I will. So legislation in June said that SHAC requires that the board vote on our board members. We talked today about it a little bit. We would like to know if any parents would like to step up into the roles. We could bring them forward for the board to approve them. We need at least 4 because we need both board positions for chair and co-chair filled, as well as secretary and the one additional one because it has to be an even number. So we wanted to see if there were any parents that were interested in taking a board position, because staff going forward, so our nurses that are normally a voting party can no longer be a voting party, but we are to be here to give feedback. Does anyone want to step into secretary role or help on our board? Okay. I will get your name after and we'll put it down. Anybody else? Any other?
Ryan.
Are either of you willing to stay on?
Yeah.
I'll do it if
we'll stay on if we need to.
Okay.
I'm all volunteering. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it. We're here.
Okay.
I mean, I can if you need to, but.
I got 4, so we'll be good, and then we'll put the nurses on, and we'll send it to the board for approval. So that is the changes with that. It doesn't change that we bring things here. We still talk about the sex ed education program. Everything else stays the same other than who is on the board and how they're elected. And that's it on the new business then.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. Welcome to the new role.
Thank you.
Kind of hit the ground running.
Yes. Yes, it's been a lot in a short period, thanks to legislation this summer, so, but.
All right, we'll move into the campus coordinated school health team updates. We'll start off at Hannah Springs. Where's Shiplet?
Okay, I have, for vaccines, I have 3 catch-up schedules. I have 5 provisional enrollments. I'm gonna do hearing, vision, and screenings for all pre-K, kinder, first, third, and fifth. It's scheduled for October 15th. On our campus, we've had a rise in COVID as well as GI viruses that have been noted across campus. Teachers have been encouraged to disinfect, campus custodians aware of classrooms with the most incidences of illness.
Yeah. We'll move over to Klein Whitus. Ms. Tatum.
Okay, get comfortable. Okay, so we've sent out lice identification prevention information, the district lice policy, the district school health policy and procedures as well, which includes the medication administration policy. We've had reviews of all campus drills for the teachers in the classrooms, and we've had 1 fire drill on campus that was very successful. The staff have all completed completed the annual school safe school training that's required for all district employees. We sent home the hygiene letter for third through fifth graders. September 19th, I have hand washing and germ prevention that we'll be going over with all grade levels. And then, of course, the main topic at the beginning of the school year is always healthy living choices and safety. We have August 29th, we have the Hope Country Children's Advocacy Center, who will be presenting the Play It Safe program to all grades with parent approval. As far as campus health staffs, I have all of my immunizations up to date with 4 on a catch-up schedule. I have 29 affidavits to waive immunizations. That's up 6 from last year. As far as illness trends go, I've been seeing a lot of what I suspect to be COVID cases presented predominantly with GI symptoms. Haven't had any flu cases yet, no major injuries. Coach Roberts isn't here, is it okay if I go on this paper? So she said to let you guys know that the run club begins in September with before school workouts 3 days a week. They'll be doing a half mile run during the activity period, or they've been doing them during the activity period on Mondays and Fridays. They've incorporated Madness Monday, which is going to be stations that they'll rotate through. There'll be speed work, running, aerobic workout in the gym, and then the Catch Health program, which, as she said, will renew in September. They'll incorporate that as well. That'll be one of their stations that'll start in September. And then they've incorporated Fun Friday, so if they do really well during the week and work hard, then on Friday they have a selection of games they get to choose from that they can play. They're all at workout type games. And then they've been holding Fit Wars, sit-ups, push-ups, burpees, squat jumps for third through fifth grade, introducing them to the middle school exercises, trying to get the kids back in shape from playing games, video games all summer. Also, it's to test them, see where they're at, and then they'll set goals for the rest of the year. She's already, our PE coach is amazing, I just have to say, Coach Roberts. She has already incorporated heat hydration lesson during this week, or this past week. She has bulletin boards in, she does my job for me, it's so awesome. She has bulletin boards in the gym talking about how to, what is considered dehydration, how it happens, what you need to do to prevent it, what symptoms there are. They even practice with pre-K on how to drink out of the water fountain, not put their mouth over the entire fountain. Surprisingly enough, that's a skill that the kids aren't born with. They need to be taught. And then she is contemplating implementing staff workouts in the gym for the remainder of the year, starting next month. And then Ms. Lawrence here, so I'll let her get
through. Yeah. Like Nurse Tatum said, we have Play It Safe coming this Friday from the Advocacy Center. They come every year. It's really good information for our students. I'm implementing lunches with the counselor this year once a week. So our computer teacher will choose at random 2 students from each class to come have lunch in my office, and we're calling it the Badger Break Room to give kids like a little mental health break and meet students that they wouldn't normally mingle with. So that's kind of a positive thing they're doing. I'll start my guidance lessons next week. And then I do video announcements every week. And so the kids, like, we record them singing doing the pledges. And then I've implemented, since our PD presenter, the comedian, I have implemented adding in humor to our video announcements. So our students have a link where they can submit jokes, and the appropriate super funny ones, I go record them with a filter on their face, and we add it to the announcements, and then it just brings a smile to everyone at the end of the week to kind of lighten their mood. So that's been cool. Fun.
I do have to ask, how many of them have been submitted, let's say 6, 7?
I don't know what really? That is. I heard that this morning.
Really?
Yes. Miss Bobo actually presented, or she submitted the first one, and so it was like, why was the broom late to school? Because it overswept. And so I recorded her with a filter, and she's driving a car, and a cop is chasing her like she's late to school. It was fun. So then the kids were all asking her, like, you got pulled over this morning? See, it made everyone laugh, and that was
so
the
cute.
Point. So
yeah, good job.
Then you also do the Badger Brain
Yes, brain. The Badger Brain breaks in the Badger Break Room.
So we'll be doing our fundraiser for the Clayton Seward Scholarship.
Yes.
Fund for childhood cancer.
That starts on Monday. So what we did is we made over the summer on our August PD, we had all of our teams at school, so like first grade, second grade teams, we did JCPenney photo shoots with all of our team members. And so the students get to vote which team they want to see pied in the face. So they donate their money to each of the team, and the That's team, cool. It's like elimination style. So the teams that don't get enough money get eliminated. So
that's awesome. Good stuff.
We've raised quite a bit of money for that. Doing the pie in the face. Yes. And it's nice that the money stays local to our seniors with the scholarship here in town. So.
All right, we'll move over to Taylor Creek.
Sorry guys, mine is not near that detailed. So so trends, just yeah, bunch of headaches, stomach aches, very few fevers, anything going on like that. We have had two staff broken bones. We've had a student broken bone. A lot of falls. A lot of falls outside. A lot of falls inside. And an insane amount of kids choking on chicken nuggets.
Wow.
It's a thing.
They're yeah. stuck.
So I don't know if it's the school's chicken nuggets, or I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but every single one, it's chicken nuggets.
Do we need a safety class on how to eat?
I keep telling them, like, smaller bites, chew.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. They're
but,
just
yeah,
so good. They're like,
such a hurry, just like, I don't know. But yeah, chicken nuggets is the thing. I have 34 affidavit waivers on file. I have two kids on catch-up schedule, seven, what is the word? Like the military homeless, what is that?
Provisional.
There we go, yeah. Seven of those, had to withdraw one due to delinquency, and it is a teacher's kid, and I don't know if she just thought she'd slip past the system or what, I don't know, but we didn't allow it. So, we're gonna do hearing and vision on October 7th. My counselor was not here today because there's a staff meeting at Taylor Creek, so she asked me to let you guys know that she has had 4 suicide protocols already. And we are working with getting the Temple Dental College dental hygiene program to come to talk to the kids about dental hygiene and everything like that. Other than that, I think that's all I have.
It's a large amount.
That's a good chunk.
4. Well, welcome.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Brittany is our new nurse at Taylor Creek. Not Brittany. Leslie is our new nurse at Taylor Creek. Brittany is our new nurse at the middle school. She is out today, though. So.
Do we have a
I will update? Report for her. Okay. So, the middle school, they've seen 360 visits since the start of school. We have six graders that are still not in compliance that we've been working with parents to get them in compliance and with the health department. They were out of some vaccines, DTaP, and I can't remember what the other one was. One of the HEPs were out. She should have got them back, so we're working to get them through and get vaccinated. I have 12 in total throughout the whole campus that are not in compliance. They could be transfers and new. I'm going to find out when she's back what are going on with those ones. And then we have 19 waivers. She is seeing the trend of headaches, sore throat, and vomiting, which is like the GI, all kind of COVID-y. But nobody is testing. And they're returning the next day.
So my son had a headache and sore throat not too long ago, and it was rhinovirus.
Oh, that's even better.
The common cold.
Cool.
It wasn't just COVID mixing or strep.
We've heard flu A is out there already in the area, and so DSHS said if people are not funded, they already have flu shots to start getting them, adult and kids. So they are ready to go.
Yeah. We're getting a weekly allotment at the hospital, so.
Yeah. So it's coming.
All right. Thank you for the middle school updates. All right, Ms. Coughlin, the high school.
Okay, mine is pretty short. I only have one student that's on a catch-up schedule, and I have one 30-day provisional. I have have a ton of affidavits. I don't know the exact number, but I've got a whole binder full of them. I think there was in the 50s last year of how many affidavits we had on campus. I haven't counted yet this year. Miss Ellis is going to do Stop the Bleed with our construction classes this Friday. And then I am going to schedule senior CPR, not sure when. It'll be coming up soon, though. I'm probably going to wait till all the vision and hearing and all that stuff's done, and then I'll probably schedule that. But that's pretty much it for my office.
Thank you. Coaches.
I don't think you have any.
Yeah. Got your updates.
Do you mind if I go?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'm the counselor at Hannah Springs. So our campus, we have a really big focus this year on a lot of things that teachers and students and parents gave us feedback on. And a lot of that was on allowing students to have more leadership opportunities within classrooms and stuff. So there's a big push for that to give kids that opportunity. And so there's been some really exciting things to see happening already with that. One third grade class has a he's the leader of the week, and so he gets they get to wear this like thing around their neck, and they just walk around super proud. It's really fun to see. But also giving more opportunities for staff and parents to have a voice within the campus and have more opportunities within classrooms and stuff to just really help that community built within the campus. And our monthly focus that is attached to our Leader in Me curriculum is being taught along with the character traits through Happy Habit Focus of our within our weekly videos. And so Happy, our school dog, now has a cartoon, and so he does his videos and stuff, and the kids love it. They were really excited that he got to come back this year. I've met with third through fifth grade doing minute meetings. Overall consensus is that everybody's really excited about their new classes and stuff. I had a couple of kiddos say they were really a little anxious about the new math curriculum, but they were working through some stuff, but nothing that was over the top with any mental health concerns within that. But they also have a lot of goals of wanting to get better at being athletes. Several that want to get better at fishing, but I was really pleasantly surprised that a lot of them wanted to make more time to play with friends outside. So that was really exciting to hear. So many of them just say they want to play video games. So I've done teacher and parent needs assessments. So far right now, social development, teachers and parents are both saying that their kids need more help with understanding how their actions affect others. Emotional development, teachers and parents both said managing and controlling anger as something that needs to be focused on with kids. Academic, teachers say managing inattention and hyperactivity. And then the parents said prioritizing tasks and asking for help. And then career development was teachers asked for understanding value of secondary education, making sure that they understand what that means, and then parents connecting future career opportunities to what their kids' interests are. So that's how the curriculum for the first semester of what I teach within guidance will be happening from. But it will also allow me to build small groups so I can pull the kids that parents or the teachers say that they're having anger issues. We can do groups with that. Ones that have a hard time sitting still in class, we can do a small group with that, just kind of work on some skills that they can work on through that. So I was really pleasantly surprised how many have gone in and done the needs assessments to get that feedback, so it's really helpful. We had two suicide protocols, one behavioral threat assessment. We have PlaySafe scheduled for September 10th, and that's for the sexual abuse training that the Hill Country Advocacy Center does, like at Klein, they're set up. And then Marathon Kids with PE is starting the next week or so. I know permission slips went home, so they're going to start Friday, run club during the week in the mornings, and then on Fridays during class they're going to do stuff as well with PE. So the kids are going to be working on beating their goal of last year, and then sand on miles. So it'll be fun.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Absolutely.
All right, we will move on to nutritional. Mr. Pippen.
I'm going to keep it as short as possible. The first thing before I forget is October the 13th through the 17th, I believe is the correct dates. That is the National School Lunch Week. We have some plans made for that with our menus. nothing major, but we added some stuff and changed some stuff around for that. What I wanted to focus on was the fact that there are some changes in our nutritional data or information that we follow, and rules based with the current USDA plan. I won't try to explain it all, but it's done in phases. There are certain things that are happening with milk currently, that the added sugar in milk, they're starting to look at that, and where that comes into effect. The sodium levels are on track, and we're trying to stay with those. The added sugars has already started to see some effect when I made the menus last year, so that we could order in January, and then we turned around and ordered that food in May, and some of the things that we ordered is no longer in compliance. So we had to go in and just the last couple of weeks change some things. One of those was some cereal. Y'all know that we're a nut-free district, and so we can't serve Honey Nut Cheerios, but they've came out with Honey Cheerios without the nut part. And so we put that on the menu. We ordered that in May. It came in on the truck, but it doesn't meet the Buy American rule because the oats are grown in Canada. And so we have to serve those out. And the kids love them, and we can't serve those anymore. What we replaced them with was Trix. One of the things, well, you have to understand that the Trix we serve is not the Trix you buy off of an H-E-B counter or Walmart.
It's not sugar.
They're low sugar, and a lot of the cereals that had or have dyes in them, that's the other thing. They're doing away with a lot of the artificial dyes. I'm not going to try to list all that stuff because it would be here all night. But like Lucky Charms, you will not see Lucky Charms in this district as long as I'm here. That one is the dye. But I was told at a food show that they are taking those dyes out using natural dyes, and I'm still not going to put them back on the menu because I'm a big Lucky Charm fan, as you can tell, and I don't think kids need that. There are some other cereals that have dyes in them, but you are now natural dyes, and so we're trying to be choosy and pick the correct. A lot of kids are very upset. We had to change some cereals. I had total different cereals on there for the most part when we set up the menus, but because of the changes, we had to go in and change that. The Buy American is going to be a challenge, and it's affecting us across the board, all the way from food products that you buy from Labatt all the way to fresh vegetables. We're only allowed to spend 10% of our total food cost for the year, and we're breaking it down by months to stay within that, on non-domestic food. That includes produce, and that's a lot of produce comes out of other countries. And each year that percentage is going to go down, and eventually they want us to be buying 100%. So you're going to see mandarin oranges eventually go away, and they will probably go away around mid-year. That is one of the, if not the favorite fruits the kids eat. It's because it's non-domestic and it costs us a fortune. Bananas, you're not seeing bananas on the menu anymore because we can't afford that to eat up that 10%. Even though I think that's silly, I understand, even though it's a non-domestic, and we do have some ways around some of that, but I don't like doing that. And I'm trying to just say, okay, we're gonna go with this plan and we're gonna work our way out of it. With that being said, the menus are set. I know it sounds silly, but this is a fact. We're already working on menus for next year because we're going to have to start ordering some foods for November. And we have to forecast things for next school year. And then in January, we have to full-blown order what's left for next school year. And so it's crazy that we're just now starting and we're already working on next year. Staff-wise, we're staffed up in the kitchens with a couple of vacancies that we're working on getting those filled. We have some things in place that we want to work with. When I first came, we did some taste testing with some students at the high school on some pizza, and we made some changes that first year. We've made some more changes over, but we're working on some plans to do, sit down with, we're gonna get with the principals and we're gonna say, I need 10 kids from this campus, and we're gonna set up a time to meet with those kids and talk to them about what they like, what they don't like at lunch, and we're gonna feed them while we do that. And, because I want their input. It's not all about what Calvin likes. I even let my staff make menus. And I do the nutritional part. I work that part out. But it's very important to me that we have input other than my office. And we're still on track to serve 100% pure beef. We're still on track to serve whole muscle chicken. And when I say whole muscle, it can be made into a nugget. It's not what's, I don't know why that one's campus is choking.
They must be good.
We do serve a lot of chicken.
I said they must be scarfing.
Yeah, they're hungry.
They're just inhaling it.
Yeah. And so we had the local foods for schools grant, and we purchased, it was about 85,500 worth of beef from a rancher out of Crawford and Gatesville. We tried to get one from Lampasas to be able to get that, but unfortunately his price was just nowhere near the competitive rate. But we still got that good beef, and it's good Texas beef. Beef is a problem. I don't know if y'all keep up with that, but price of beef is going up and up and up, and they anticipate it to go even sky high. So we're fortunate to have a supply of beef in place already. And we watch our freezers like a hawk, and our beef is over there. And then we're expected to receive some more 100% pure beef from the USDA. It won't be probably Texas beef, but it will be 100% pure beef. And it's not pre-cooked, we cook it from raw, and that way we control what goes in it, the amount of salt, and things like that. And other than that, that's about it.
I know our kids love the chicken bowls. The like mashed potatoes, KFC bowls.
We did it at the high school for the last 2 years, and then we started at the middle school last year, and then this year we took it over to the elementaries. And I was really surprised. My staff is excited to be able to do something like that for the elementary.
They loved it. The teachers were going through the line a lot that day too. I've heard a lot of good reviews about the hamburgers, so.
Yeah.
And a lot of good feedback.
So you're a Lucky Charms guy.
I was a regular Lucky Charm.
That's the only note that Holcomb has on this paper. Not lettuce.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Pittman, and all your hard work and keeping us legal. All those hurdles you're having to jump over. Agency updates. We don't have Karen here.
She couldn't make it today.
Do we have any updates? Or
she didn't have any. I do know that the changes with some legislation bills caused them to release several employees, and so staffing has changed at the agriculture building a little bit. So she's been out a lot and running around.
All right. To be determined how that turns out. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the garden program that you were looking in. Something related to that, I think, got impacted. The USDA food, something that they had there was one of them that was let go. So she said it was about 70 employees.
Well, the belt is tightening everywhere. Before we turn it to roundtable again for closing comments, questions, or concerns, I do want to say there's ongoing bond meetings. Please go on the LISD website and look up those meetings and see what's being talked about. Talk with the community members, talk with your friends, neighbors, because it is something that's coming down the pipeline, and these are ongoing meetings, and there will be votes at some point. And then there will be, I guess it turns over for actual community election votes. So
the meeting September 22nd.
We had one on Monday.
Yeah, another one in September. I mean, anybody can attend and listen, obviously. There are committee members that were selected, and like he said, the architect's firm, which the board has selected, wants the committee to make a recommendation to the school board, you know, as to where we'll go, you know, with the bond itself. You know, there are a lot of needs, and so we're starting big picture, and they're going to hopefully try to funnel it down to what bond capacity we have, what we can afford. Obviously, one of the folks is in the middle school, but nothing's off the table at this point. So.
Just wanted to throw that out there. I know that's not school health related, but it is in a way, because, you know, if we're sending kids in dilapidated schools, that is health related. So, that being said, I'll do your round table. Mr. Pittman,
I appreciate all the feedback. I've been part of the committee for, I think, a little over a year. I think I would appreciate, though, too, some safety feedback. I know there's a big emphasis on, like, bullying and prevention on that, but what are schools doing for that? I know y'all are doing stuff. My daughter told me she filled out a bully report this week. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a thing. So just getting more information maybe on bullying or just safety in the schools, that's a big topic. And just with the middle school being so big, mine's at the middle school, but of course all the schools, but what are we doing for safety? How are parents alerted if there's a safety event? I got a safety alert for fire, but, you know, how do we make sure all the community is getting those alerts and just kind of being proactive about that and spreading information to those who don't get it?
So I can vouch that during the bond meeting, the middle school was talked about quite heavily. There's, 115 entryways or so that get into the school. They're not all secured, like the front door. So that is one of the heavy items on the docket.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we need to get that out in the community, talk about it, so that way we can get the community to vote so we can actually afford to do something with that.
Right.
Thank you for your feedback.
Yeah. And I'll say too on the bullying, I know all the counselors have it on our to-do list for our classroom lessons, but also getting feedback from the students and stuff. And I think a big push that I got back from a lot of the teachers, but also parents, is making sure that kids understand what actual bullying is, because there's so many kids that just use that term for every single mishap with a friend in class or on the playground, and it's not always bullying. Like, there's very specific laws and the definition of it. And so one parent even said, can we have a class on what the actual definition of what bullying looks like?
Yeah.
So, because it's just a term that's just used for everything. And
yeah,
so, but it's very specific on what it is. So that is something that we're looking at, but the bullying classes and stuff in the elementary coming out in the next month or so.
I did a training for my staff in August PD to, like, talk to our teachers so that we were all on the same page with, like, bullying versus a mean moment versus rude, and so that we were all kind of using the same language across campus and with all of our students. And then I do the same lesson with the students when I go into the classes.
And there's, I have, like, a poster that shows all that, like, conflict is included as well, because a lot of times I'm like, they're bullying you. Well, you're bullying me. Like, I'm like, no, that's a conflict. Like, no, I'm fighting. So it's just getting them to understand, but bullying is such an easy word for everybody to just grasp onto and just utilize, and it's not always.
And we have safety, like, throughout the year. I know Nurse Tatum does a lot of, like, poison prevention, that kind of safety. And we have the safety week where the fire department comes out, the police department come out, and they talk about all the different safety in the community. It's typically right around Halloween, so they include, like, candy safety, too, which is neat, like, trick-or-treat safety.
Gun safety. Stranger.
I will say I did witness a really cool medication safety with Nurse Tatum the other day. So she has worked with her students that are new, even not new to her, but it's a new school year. Their medication may have changed over the summer. She tricked one and put a Smartie in their medication cup. And she was like, so you're just going to take anything from someone? You're not going to say, hey, this doesn't look like my pill? So the next time she was out, I was there and I was like, hey, is that your pill? Is this your name? And he was like, yes, it's white, it's circular, it's A43 on the pill. So she's doing a phenomenal job with medication safety, which a lot of people forget about too, because I mean, you can find a pill on the counter and take it, and these kids will. But she has taught them, like, if I'm not here, you verify what you're taking with, which is a big safety thing too, which I think is awesome to see her doing with them. And I think the kids are learning to identify when it's not right and speak up too.
Yeah. And I guess what I'm just saying is y'all are doing a lot of amazing things, and I hear those things that are happening at the schools. I think it's more of how do parents know, and how can parents engage in, like, the bullying conversations? How can I have a conversation with my daughter to reiterate the things y'all are teaching in schools? And how can we engage more?
I know from my campus, when I do lessons, I have a parent portal on my website where I push things out so they have the information to go and look at it. And I think with the new SB 12 rules and how we're supposed to be giving a lot more information about our curriculum, our guidance curriculum, it'll be a little bit more detailed. And so I'll probably have, this is very much still a discussion on how it's going to work for the counselors, but I'm thinking we're probably going to have my teachers send out my remind beforehand. You know, this is coming up within the counselor's information, so that way they have an opportunity to go and look and see if it, and then they can take it home and reiterate. And I always give my kids homework to go home and tell their parents and teach the parents about what it is. And they're like, homework? I was like, that's for your parents. And so sometimes they'll come back and say they taught it to them, but hoping that they will have a conversation at dinner that night or whatever to kind of.
And we do monthly newsletters where I include all of the lessons that I'm teaching with, like, follow-up lessons that the parents can do at home.
So you're wanting more output sent out to parents so they're informed of what's going on. I get what you're saying.
And I feel like elementary-wise, I got a lot of information. I feel like maybe it kind of falls off as they get older.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
I don't see any, yeah.
If I have, like, when I do my hand washing class in germ prevention, I'll put out, hey, we just got a class, don't forget to practice with your kid. But we put that on, like, our social media site. I'll send it out by reminder, and then we put it in our newsletter. But that's the thing with when one passes, small counts, everything's word of mouth. So
yes.
When my kids started school 3 hours, like, oh, there's a social media site just for the school, like, you know, you kind of do those things, unless you talk to someone who already knows about it, you kind of don't know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I get
more. I agree.
Do you have anything? Round table?
No. Everybody, again, nurses do a great job. Thanks for all the work. Appreciate the parent involvement. The chat committee is getting a little larger, and that's a good thing. Overall safety, we're very blessed here in Lampasas that every campus has an SRO, resource officer, that's there every day. Increase in safety through legislation recently. Every classroom has a panic alert button, you know, installed. So if there were a true emergency, a staff member can initiate that. It alerts the principal to investigate, see whether it's a true emergency before, you know, law enforcement would be called to campus. All exterior doors locked. We talked about the middle school. I was there for 19 years as a principal and assistant principal. There's a lot of concerns. You know, the building is what it is. So in a sense, we tried to say if there were a true emergency, having all those exit points allows an easier path for people to get out as well. So you kind of look at it that way, because in real emergencies, sometimes people are contained in an area that's not a good situation. There's there, at least there are more ways to get away. And so at that point, that's kind of what we're trying to utilize until hopefully we get a new school. So
the only question I had, so there's no suicide protocol kids at the middle school or the high school?
I have not been reported to for middle school. Have you gotten any?
Just at the elementaries.
I know I talked to one of the counselors at the high school today, and she had one yesterday.
Yeah, they do, they,
so there is, okay.
They do some periodically.
Yeah. I was fascinated how young they are and how they're so,
and the way that the district processes is like, if a student says something along the lines of they're wanting to harm themselves, it doesn't matter. We do the protocol, whether it's, I'm just having
really
a bad day and I want
to,
exactly. And then 99% of the time in the elementary, they don't understand what they're saying. Right. It's just something that they're saying because they're frustrated.
Just
so then we have lots.
On the side of caution.
And or they've heard of, it because of things they shouldn't really be watching.
Yes.
But then we have lots of conversations of appropriate things to say when you're mad or how to.
Okay. That makes more sense because, I mean, my heart just sunk hearing that at the elementary. And I'm like, oh my God.
Our babies.
I was going to say, just again, like last year, if y'all need help with the CPR at the high school or the stop the bleed again, feel free to reach out. I'm a Red Cross instructor now rather than AHA, but happy to help with whatever I can.
Same concept.
And I won't have him again.
Same concept.
He's in daycare.
He's fine.
Sorry.
He's good.
I was like, he's just talking.
No, we,
just
talking. Yeah, that doesn't bother any of
you. Nope.
Yeah,
I want to help
in
him
play.
Take that any day over a teenager.
I'm not sure. I have both. There are days. I don't know. So I think for me too, it's just kind of like communication sometimes for parents. I think falls off in terms of like maybe what's happening, like in terms of safety, especially. I think we're just not aware of like even the panic things exist, but. And then I was just thinking, because I went to the parent orientation at Hannah, it seems like there's a lot built into the curriculum this year that like kids are not moving much. So I didn't know like some of the things I was just thinking of is like incorporating like movement breaks into the classroom, like, you know, 2 to 3 minutes getting up to move.
Yes.
Because I think it would help with the hyperactivity and
agreed.
Because I was just thinking, like, I don't expect my college students, I've taught in the college level, and I don't expect them to sit for that length of time. And I'm thinking, like, you expect my third grader to sit for that length of time? Like, it's insane to me. So that was just something I was, like, already kind of, like, brainstorming in terms of recommendations that maybe we can make to just, even at the teacher level.
Well, and that's once I was looking at the data from the teachers, because that came from the teachers, and I'm thinking, okay, and it was a lot of them. And I was like, okay, I think I need to have a conversation with my leadership team of like, we need to figure out how we can incorporate more because, you know, even for little kindergartners, like sitting for that long, it's just hard. And so we'll be taking it to our counseling advisory committee to make some recommendations.
And I've seen even more like with the leadership component, you can have like a movement leader in the classroom who's in charge of like deciding who gets to be pick the movement for the day or whatever, the week or so. That's just some of the things I was like thinking of, like in terms of just what I was seeing as a parent. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I was about ready to like pull my kids from the school, like, because I was thinking homeschool would be so much better than this because I can let them move around. And because I do have a friend that's homeschooling this year, her fifth grader, and she tells me like her daughter is not expected to sit and she can still do 4 hours of gymnastics in the day. So I'm thinking like, my third grader is expected to sit for this length of time.
Our campus tries to do like 20 every 20 minutes, 2 minutes of get up, move around. But then we also have almost every single one of our teachers has like different setups in their classroom. Like if you need to stand, you're a standing person, you can stand at a desk and do your work. There's different types of chairs that you can sit on, like round chairs. The nurses don't love them so much because they tend to fall off of them. We end up seeing them, but they have the bouncy balls and they're pretty good about that. But I don't know that, I think sometimes, you know, when you're trying to be productive with the kids and get them to accomplish something, you only have so much time to do it and you forget to take that time. So I think having a leader, like someone to say, hey, okay, a movement leader, that would be a great idea.
And even the hydration component, like it didn't sound like there were a lot of, my kids are very communicative, but very much, they're kind of mature for their age.
Yes, they are.
So my third grader, he's got migraines. He comes home and tells me how much water he's drinking. And it sounds like you're working very hard at your campus on hydration, but like hydration at the elementary school where my kids are at, it's like teachers aren't really given the water breaks It doesn't sound
it's hard. Honestly, though, after COVID, when we started, kids really started bringing their water bottles to school religiously, that made a huge impact. That made a big difference on kids bringing in their water bottle all the time. Because then we have the water fill stations, and most of our teachers are really good about letting the kids keep it on them all the time, but then you have some classes that take advantage of that, and they're doing that little flip thing with the water bottle, and they're squishing their water bottle, and
yeah,
making it crackly.
And that's where, like, the fourth grade teacher last year took it out of the classroom, so then my fourth grader didn't have water last year, like, and it was kept in the locker, and I was like, well, what's the point of setting the water bottle? You know, so it's just like, sometimes it's like a...
And it happened in classrooms where all of a sudden you have 10 Stanleys that are falling over and it's just like metal clinking and stuff.
Yes.
And it makes it hard for, because it's distracting to the other kids that also can't hear the learning. And so I've seen them where like they have to leave them in the hallway or on top of their lockers. And so I think it's just trying to figure out the best situation for all of them. But I think it's definitely something that we can have a conversation with everybody and say, like, you know, we know you're seeing this and, you know, these are things we've heard. So making a good middle ground for everybody to, like, have a good system in place for their classroom regardless of what's going on.
And I overall, I think teachers are doing great. Like, we try to support snack funds, and because my kids were really empathetic to kids that don't have snacks, and so.
Gotta be careful sharing snacks, though.
Well, no, we sent it in for the teacher.
Okay.
You know, we sent in a box of Cheez-Its or.
Yeah, we've been doing that for a couple years with Sam's and load them up. We really appreciate it.
But that was just some, and then like offering like the resources to the parents to kind of extend the healthy habits or whatever you guys are teaching to the to the parents, I guess.
Yeah.
So kind of like she was saying, just the communication piece maybe.
Yeah.
Figuring out ways to do that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your feedback.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I got nothing today.
All right.
You good?
All right. When's the next meeting?
November 19th.
November 19th, next meeting, 4:15. That being no objections, we will adjourn until next time.
Yep, that's
yes.
Wednesday. Yep.
Thank y'all very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank y'all.